Welcome to another episode of the Alter Your Health podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. If this is your first time listening, hello and welcome. We value your time and energy and hope you receive a lot from tuning in. As a listener-supported show, we rely on you to help us grow. We'd be so grateful if you share the show or a favorite episode with a friend or fellow health seeker. Living a healthy and nourishing life doesn't always come easily, especially in today's crazy world. But that's why we're here, doing what we love, hopefully helping you along with information and inspiration that fuels your health pursuits. If you're looking for more support, consider subscribing to the monthly meal guide membership. Just $11 per month gets you access to a weekly meal guide filled with healing and delicious whole food plant-based recipes, along with invitations to our regularly scheduled support calls where we can connect, answer questions, and keep the good vibes flowing in our healthy lives. You can learn more at www.alter.health/meal-guides. And if you're looking for more in-depth support, check out our other services. We offer both one-on-one consulting as well as educational programs. All of our current offerings are listed at www.alter.health. Our ultimate goal is to empower you to heal yourself. Keeping with that theme, let's dive into today's show. Right. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Alter Your Health Live, your source of information and inspiration, as always, to promote the holistic transformation of your health, and the health of our planet. I'm your host, Dr. Benjamin Alter.
And I'm Dr. Susanna Alter.
And I'm really excited about this week. Not only am I reunited with Susanna after a week apart, but we're talking about something that's really, 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 really important. And thank you to Dr. Bryant, among other naturopathic doctors, for, you know, focusing our efforts as holistic health practitioners on understanding and educating the population on how to support their adrenals naturally. And, you know, I think in our world today, I don't know what your thoughts are, Dr. Susanna, but a lot of alternative functional medicine practitioners and that sort of thing are indeed focusing a lot on adrenal health, adrenal stress, and, you know, seeing that as a root cause, as some aspect, some degree of a root cause to chronic fatigue and that sort of thing. So we're going to talk all about that. And most importantly, we're going to talk about how to actually, truly, for real, support your adrenals like no one's business, because that's your job as a human being, we believe.
Yes.
So, Dr. Susanna, what are the adrenals? Where are they, and what the heck do they do besides cause us to become like stressed and tired?
All right. The adrenal glands, they're part of your endocrine system. So they secrete hormones, and they're located right above the kidneys. They're just sitting like right on the kidneys, and they're very small and cute. You have two of them. They are responsible for a lot of things. The biggest thing that we focus on when we talk about adrenals is the stress response. So they're part of this axis in our body called the HPA axis. That stands for the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis. So what happens when there's a stressful situation is that our brain perceives the stress. The hypothalamus communicates with the pituitary gland, and the pituitary gland sends hormones down to the adrenals that basically like knock on the adrenals and say, hey, wake up. We need cortisol. We need catecholamines like norepinephrine and epinephrine. And what these stress hormones do is that they can increase your heart rate. They increase your blood pressure. They increase blood glucose so that you have fuel that your cells are ready to use to do whatever you need to do, whether that's fight off a troll or run from a tiger, whatever the stress is.
I like fighting trolls.
Yes.
That's an easy battle.
And so the adrenals do a few other things too.
Yeah.
They also secrete other hormones called DHEA, which is thought of as cortisol's kind of sister hormone. But what DHEA does is kind of help to balance the effects of cortisol. And then the adrenals also secrete aldosterone.
What does aldosterone do?
Aldosterone is used in kind of regulating the fluids in our body.
Yeah. So like salt and mineral balance as well as fluid balance. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
it's a lot for the adrenals, but I think what we'll focus mostly on today is this kind of stress response.
Yeah. It's because, you know, and that is what most people talk about when they're talking about the adrenals. They're talking about the stress hormones, because the fact of the matter is, you know, based on my understanding at least, is the body does everything else very well. The body is, you know, an expert at managing fluids and electrolytes. The body is really good at balancing things. But what can get out of balance really easy, and we're going to talk about why, is the stress hormones in the body. I mean, I think everyone kind of has a basic understanding of how the stress hormones get totally whacked out in our world today. But just look, you know, just turn on the TV and look at the news, and we can see that we're living in a world that is stressful. And, you know, I think that we both agree that the goal is not to hide and run from stress and to live in a bubble and to, you know, meditate all day, every day, and just like be in a constant state of zen and bliss. Although that is maybe like a guiding, a guiding intention or principle, but we're not, you know, let's be realistic. We're going to be living in this world that's full of all sorts of exciting adventures, and we're going to be running from tigers from time to time, and we're going to be watching the news and seeing what's happening and being part of this world. So let's go. So let's do this.
So let's do this.
Yeah.
So, okay, before we dive into HPA axis dysregulation, or AKA adrenal fatigue, I want to talk about those terms, because this was laid out very specifically for us when we were mere students learning about adrenal fatigue. But adrenal fatigue is like a really trendy term that's used by a lot of alternative healthcare practitioners, but it's actually not a condition that's recognized by the biomedical community. And that's because true adrenal fatigue is actually another name for a more serious condition called Addison's disease. And that's when the adrenals are producing basically no cortisol. They've been destroyed.
Yeah. So if you think about, like, you know, this is a normal, I'm sorry, I'm in front of your face. This is like a normal, you know, healthy person. Like, I don't even like to use the word healthy, but this is like like the top of the spectrum, and then adrenal, and then Addison's disease is down there. I would say that most people are like somewhere right in the middle, you know, and it, depending on where you are and your specific physiology and, you know, other, so many factors, if you're in the middle, you're oftentimes going to be experiencing fatigue for one reason or another. And that might be in part due to your adrenals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with HPA axis dysregulation, this term that we prefer in the naturopathic community, that is more of a functional condition. What I mean by that is that, you know, your cortisol levels aren't so low that you're actually going to need pharmaceutical synthetic cortisol replacement. Your adrenals are in a state where they can totally restore themselves. Mm-hmm. And so what's happening in this HPA axis dysregulation is that your body has been perceiving stress for a prolonged time. So it's not just that acute stress, like running from a tiger, and then you seek shelter, and then everything's all good. Your body is like perceiving this continual chase, you know, for maybe weeks, months, years, whatever it is, whether it's from work, school, relationships, the news.
And what's amazing about the body is that it can be in a perceived state of stress, but we can be psychologically so used to that kind of fight or flight response that we don't necessarily psychologically feel stressed out, but the body is the physiologically, we are stressed out because we can psychologically adapt to our physiologic body, if that makes sense. This is mind-body stuff, you know, in the nutshell. So what are other causes of HPA dysregulation? Is it just stress or?
Well, there's you know, psychological stress, emotional stress. There's also physical stress. So an example of that is endurance athletes that overtrain, they use up a lot of stress hormones while they're exercising and training. Because, you know, running several hours every day is, you know, is a big stress for the body. Totally. So that's one physical example. There's also maybe is what you're trying to do, dietary components that are stressful.
For example, if I could answer my question, thanks for prompting that. Fasting is extremely stressful for the body. You know, being in a specifically being in a carbohydrate deficit, because like Dr. Susanna was talking about at the beginning, one of the main things that the adrenal hormones and adrenal glands do is maintain blood sugar in the body to fuel all of the organs and systems of the body. So when we're fasting, or specifically when we're on a low carbohydrate, you know, prolonged low carbohydrate sort of diet, the adrenals actually have to work harder to secrete hormones to maintain proper blood sugar to fuel the body. Because even, you know, speaking for a second about like a ketogenic kind of diet where you're on essentially zero carbohydrates, you're still going to be maintaining blood sugar, blood glucose levels between 80 and 100 or 70 and 100, depending on, you know, your specific physiology. So even though you're not taking, you could be drinking coconut oil, you know, all day, every day for weeks. And that is a pure state of quote unquote ketosis, but your blood sugar is still going to be 70, 80, 90 milligrams per deciliter. And that is and it needs to be in order to stay alive. You know, that's a good thing. But the way that happens is by your adrenal hormones secreting, you know, your adrenal glands secreting different hormones that maintain that blood sugar level. Mm. So carbohydrate restriction is a huge physiologic stress. And if you know about Dr. Susanna and myself and our dietary preferences personally and professionally, we always advocate for a complex carbohydrate rich dietary plan.
What?
For so many reasons. We love carbohydrates for so many reasons.
And we talk a lot about why we love carbohydrate rich diets in our previous podcast.
We're not going to get too much into that here.
No, but you should definitely check out those episodes.
So stress, essentially the number one cause of HPA dysregulation, could be psychologic, could be physiologic, could be nutritional, could be exercise induced.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, because of just the prevalence of stress in our lives today, it is really a common condition to have this HPA axis dysregulation. I mean, it's basically guaranteed that at some point in your life, you will have some HPA axis dysregulation.
Part of the human experience.
Yeah.
So what do we do about it?
Well, what do we do about it? Actually, first, I just want to point out that different people, different constitutions with different bodies, they actually respond differently to this prolonged stress. And so some people, their HPA dysregulation is more of like a hyper adrenal response. And so those people have kind of the symptoms of feeling like wired but tired, and they can't really sleep at night, and they might be a little more like aggressive and just, you know, like easy to anger. what's happening with their hormones is that their cortisol is actually measured at like a normal, what is typically a normal level in the blood, but that their DHEA is low. And so the ratio between cortisol and DHEA is out of whack, which makes them feel tired. It can lead to weight gain. It can lead to muscle weakness and also other hormonal issues like with your reproductive hormones. So there may be issues with menstruation or really difficult menopause symptoms. So stress plays into, cortisol plays into a lot more functions in your body than you would think.
Yeah. If you've got any sort of if you're working with any sort of doctor or health professional who knows anything about the body, they're probably going to say that some part of your physical health concerns are due to stress, and they're going to be right.
Yeah, it's true.
Because, you know, just given the physiologic nature that the endocrine system is connected, you know, the adrenals being part of the endocrine system, they're connected with every other gland of the endocrine system. So for example, when the thyroid is being stressed by whatever number of causes, the adrenal glands get stressed to support the deficiency of thyroid production and that sort of thing. And similarly, if the, if the reproductive organs and glands are stressed for whatever reasons, the adrenal glands also come to bolster the effect of what, you know, pick up the slack for reproductive gland function. So we're all connected, all these glands and organs are connected. So it's amazing. And it's also kind of overwhelming and confusing, or it can be, but it's just important. I like to just remember that the body is the master at doing what it does, which is healing, which is balancing, which is finding equilibrium, so to speak. And if we create the proper environment, then we don't have to worry about this hormone being up and that hormone being down, because we're going to naturally find balance. It's just like a physical law.
Yes. So nice to remember that.
trust your body.
Yes.
That being said, do you want to get into it?
Yes. Okay. Well, so I talked about the hyperadrenal response. Some people will first have like a hyperadrenal response and then they'll kind of burn out and crash. Some people will kind of skip that hyper phase and go straight into just kind of hypo function of the adrenal glands. And what that looks like is there'll actually be slightly lower levels of cortisol and also lower levels of DHEA. And so these people are more the kind of people that are just really tired all throughout the day, and they, you know, they need a lot of sleep. And
yeah,
yes. So it's really, you know, when we think about what do we do for adrenal care? I mean, there are like a ton of products on the market that are all like, ooh, take this, it'll support your adrenal glands, it'll make you feel so much more energetic. Mm-hmm. But understanding that, you know, the adrenal glands are so complex, and you know, one person's response to stress is so different than the other person's stress, you really have to be careful about what adrenal products you're taking. Because, you know, for example, if you're in like a kind of a more hyper adrenal state and you're taking these stimulating herbs, it's just going to worsen those symptoms.
And that's what you had an experience with, right?
Just
this last year you were taking, we don't have to get into that too much, and sorry for bringing it up.
But, oh no, it's
but
fine.
Susanna started taking rhodiola to kind of, you know, support her, you know, going through the end of medical school and her resilience, and it hyped you up kind of to the point that
I couldn't sleep at night.
Were just like so wired, so tired.
Yeah.
So it wasn't the soothing herbs, like maybe ashwagandha would have been better, right? You know, but anyways, herbs is just one thing
and
that we can do. And we're not going to, you know, I feel like anyone can Google herbs for adrenals just as well as we can. And we obviously know how these individual herbs kind of have their unique nuances to support individuals and their unique nuances to kind of match it up. But that's kind of like an accessory, a supplement.
Yeah. And like, you know, herbs certainly have their place as well. And I think that the take-home point I want to make is that you should, if you think you're wanting some herbal support for your adrenals, definitely meet with a practitioner that is well-versed in, alternative adrenal health.
Because herbs are powerful.
Yeah.
You know, they're medicine. And yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, beyond herbs. We've kind of like scratched the surface of that. Mm-hmm. Do you want to take just the next few minutes to talk about other methods of supporting adrenals?
Yeah, sure. I feel like I've been doing so much talking though, so I want to ask you to start.
Well, fine. But Suzanne and I take turns, just so you guys know, like, you know, this week is kind of Susanna's week. So that's why, you know,
I've done a little,
she's done a little bit more investigating and research. Hey, Kathy. Thank you for the feedback. So yeah, my take on adrenals and my kind of approach, generally speaking, first and foremost, I want to know what the stressors are in life. You know, like we talk about identifying and removing the cause of illness or disease, and stress being always some degree of causality in any symptom. So we want to at least identify that and see how we can mitigate that. Maybe there is a completely stressful situation that we can totally avoid. And maybe we can engage in some sort of self-care practice that can bring us resilience before we enter a stressful situation. And so I guess I would classify all of that under the realm of mindfulness, you know, just being mindful of how we are relating to ourselves in stressful situations, mm-hmm. and, you know, cultivating this resilience so that we don't need to run and hide from stress, but we can enter stress trusting that we have the resources and the tools to conquer what's in front of us so that our physiology can just settle down and trust. And that's what our body does best. We just have to reaffirm that we've got what we need. So that's kind of where I like to start, and at least. And then, you know, nutritionally speaking is kind of like the next place to go. And like I alluded to already, carbohydrates are crucial for adrenals. And yeah, I don't know how much more we need to go into nutrition just because we talk about it like every week, but
we do.
We love it.
It's important.
But in our world today, like just we are totally inundated with information telling us to not eat sugar, not eat carbs, run away from anything that might raise your blood sugar, you know. I'm sure you've heard that, like, insulin is the devil and like like all this crazy stuff. And the fact of the matter is that we need great sources of complex carbohydrates to fuel our body, to put our adrenals at ease, to calm things down. Carbohydrates are energizing, they're fueling, but they're also soothing in so many ways. So
To just support you on this point, the diets, you know, that are so popular these days that are high in protein and fat, what happens, and, you know, we talk about this in our Truth About Fat and our Truth About Carbs podcast, but prolonged consumption and even just one meal that is high in fat and high in protein, it does actually put stress on the liver and the pancreas. And
what happens when the liver and pancreas is stressed?
Your blood sugar becomes all dysregulated.
And what happens when the blood sugar is dysregulated?
Your adrenals need to pump out more cortisol.
Right. So Exactly. Yeah. I just wanted to
weave those things together. Yeah. And there's actually studies showing that a single meal that is high in animal protein shoots up, it nearly doubles the amount of cortisol in the blood. Yep. And then there's another study that shows that, you know, people who have been eating high protein, high fat diets for a long period of time have higher levels of cortisol in their blood than people that are, eating a diet that's more rich in complex carbohydrates and lower in the fat and protein. So some food for thought. Yes.
Onto any other kind of strategies?
Well, I want to talk about exercise because that's another very important component of a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah. We talked about endurance exercise potentially draining adrenal function.
Yes.
So,
exercise is very important. I definitely am a big supporter of exercise. It's just important to find an exercise that is very balancing for your body and that you're not exercising too much. And, it's honestly, if you're like me and you enjoy exercise, sometimes you have to remind yourself, cut back, give yourself rest because, like we were saying with the endurance athletes, what's happening is with this constant stream of just hormones from your brain down to your adrenals, it's just basically your adrenals will never get the rest that they need if you're constantly putting your body under physical stress. So I think something that I tend to aim for is exercising for 30 to 40 to 50 minutes a day. And that's for a healthy individual that isn't already totally wiped out.
Yeah. Well, sometimes the prescription is stop exercise. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It reminds me of, yoga in the true sense of the word. Yoga is a prescriptive lifestyle that it aims to restore balance to the body. Mm-hmm. So for some people, they need uppity-duppity cardio hits, high intensity, yada, yada, to balance their yin, to raise the yang. And a lot of people, even despite what they desire or crave or think they should be doing, they need more yin in their life. They need more restorative. So the exercise, quote unquote, the physical activity might look like just restorative stretching. Mm-hmm. And that, in my, I believe can be the best prescriptive exercise, mm-hmm. yogic prescription.
Mm-hmm. Or gentle walking or gentle swimming or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I think it's also important that whatever you choose to do for movement, that you actually enjoy it so it doesn't become a physical, a psychological stress for you as well. But that kind of leads me to my next point. Of taking time out from the standard go, 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 do, 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 achieve, achieve, achieve mindset that we have in our culture here in the U.S. And
is it just the U.S.?
No, well, other countries too.
But. I think it's worldwide. I think it's a human condition.
But yeah, I think sometimes it's hard for us to allow ourselves, to give ourselves permission to take time off and enjoy things. And it is such a crucial part of living a healthy lifestyle and nourishing the adrenals just have fun.
I don't know why I'm thinking a lot about yoga today, but it reminds me of kind of another yoga metaphor, yoga analogy is Shavasana is a yoga posture. And not only is it a yoga posture, it's maybe arguably the most important yoga posture, which for those of you who don't know, that's the corpse pose lying dead on the mat, right? Mm-hmm. And we talk about it as being kind of the place where integration happens, the practice, so to speak. We fully integrate that in our body. We need to give our bodies Shavasana throughout all aspects of life. Mm-hmm. A time to totally integrate and, obviously relax and restore ourselves, but also just kind of take in what life is giving us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. I actually read somewhere in one book that even just taking 10 minutes to lie down and do nothing in a day, meaning like no computers or cell phones or anyone else around you talking to you.
So hard.
It's
so hard.
But it actually, I feel like after you do it a few times, it's like, oh, I just crave it.
Yeah. But, yeah. But I mean, just me thinking about it right now, I'm like, yes, I do that. I actually do. For those of you who don't know, I do give myself that, but sometimes it's hard.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
But so we're with you. We understand. We feel you. Well, we've almost been going for 30 minutes and
this
is a long episode. So anything else that you want to wrap up?
Sleep is so important. To allow yourself the time to get enough sleep.
Yeah.
You know, chronic insomnia, that totally messes up your stress hormones. And so does even one night of sleep deprivation. So
totally.
We don't need to belabor that point, but
yeah.
But yes, sleep is very important.
For everything.
For everything.
So for those of you who want more information and are more maybe word inclined to read words as opposed to listen to words, Dr. Susanna wrote a very wonderful, beautiful, comprehensive post on supporting the adrenals naturally through lifestyle. And that's on the blog at alter.health/blog. I don't want to cut you off, but I do want to wrap things
that's
up.
About it. That's yeah, about you'll it. Also find some resources yeah. there that I listed.
We're not pulling all this stuff out of our butts. This is the real deal, and people, you know, this is lifestyle medicine, evidence-based stuff. So yeah, check out the blog, alter.health/blog. Obviously, there's much more podcast episodes on alter.health/podcast. And we also wanted to remind you for the month of October, which is just around the corner, Dr. Susanna is a what are we calling you? You're a new doctor.
A new licensed doctor.
A new doctor at the Alter Health Clinic, which is an online clinic. And for the month of October, both of us are offering discounted memberships for our holistic membership program. It's a 3-month program where we totally dig deep and uncover the root of health issues and support people in holistically and achieving and sustaining lifestyle and health goals. Anyways, so you can find more about that at alter.health/membership. And throughout the month of October, we will be offering a 25% discount.
25.
So save some bucks on your health and stay tuned for that. We'll be sharing that in some format, in an email or all sorts of formats. So you'll see the discount code coming around the corner. We don't have it for you yet, but stay tuned. Just wanted to give you a heads up. So that's about it. We've talked enough.
Yeah.
We've talked enough. So we're going to go nourish our adrenals with maybe
a snack,
maybe a good piece of fruit. Yeah.
Lots of fruit.
Fruit. We're going to keep our blood sugar really happy and nourished. And we're going to have some fun and enjoy the rest of our day and hope you guys do too.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Peace and love.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.